What's up and welcome to Ask Father Josh, the podcast where I get to listen to your questions, pray with them, and hopefully respond to them with answers that help you to become a saint and thrive in your relationship with Jesus Christ and your journey toward heaven. If you have your own questions, comments, and critiques that you want me to respond to, you can hit me up at www.ascensionpress.com/AskFatherJosh. You can also rate us and review us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and other podcast formats. And you can share us on your social media pages. If the show has been good for you, it might be good for other people as well. On today's show, we're going to talk about the vice of envy, of comparing ourselves to other people, and that struggle, which is a real struggle. And so before we get into that conversation about that vice of envy, I want to share with you a glory story. Glory story is this. I just got from one of my good friends, Deacon Michael Parker. He is currently in the March for Life. So this show today is being recorded during the March for Life pilgrimage. I'm going to be flying out to do the One Life Pro-Life Conference this week. Pray for me. And I guess because this show airs after. So pray for me and then God will apply your prayers in the past, like retroactive grace. It could work that way. That I make it there because it's like the roads are frozen right now in Louisiana, which never happens. So I'm trying to get to that airport, but he's there with about 300 kids from our diocese and 10 of our Mercedarian Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament, who I just love so much. Our vagabond missionaries are also with Deacon Michael Parker. Our priests, our seminarians are there. My seminarian Jeremy, who lives here at Sacred Heart, he's there right now. And I'm just so happy for them. March for Life pilgrimage, the way we do it in the Diocese of Baton Rouge is we live on Monday and we get back on Saturday night. And so we spend a week of doing adoration every day and praise and worship, and we have confessions and we have talks and we do a lot of formation on the bus. We visit the National Dominican Sisters to pick them up. We go to the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament. We go to the Holocaust Museum. There's all these formation things that we do during the week, and so many beautiful conversions over the years have happened at that particular pilgrimage. I did it before, gosh, almost like 12 or 13 years in a row. So I'm a pastor now by myself, so I can't go anymore. But I'm just so happy for them. I just think I'm happy for the graces that will be not only received, but perceived by so many of the teens that are on this pilgrimage, and for the adults as well. And so shout out to everybody who's being able to participate in the March for Life, and also for everybody who I'm going to encounter in California at the One Life Pro-Life Conference. I'll be speaking there with Gloria Purvis, and Katie Prejean McGrady will also be there, and a few others. So we're super, super excited about that conference. Yeah, just what God's going to do when we get there and are with those people up there. So that's the glory story. Right, so the question came in today, says this: I really struggle with comparing my life to other people. My life. I remember Mary J. Blige, the album My Life. If you take a look at my life and see what I see, take a look at my life and see what I that's not how it goes. It's been so long. It's been almost 30 years ago. So I even get upset about other people's situations and place in life. Seeing other people happy will make me angry. What can I do to stop feeling sorry for myself and be more grateful? All right, so I'm going to talk about this with you from a number of different perspectives. But first, I want to share with you this reality. You're not alone. A lot of people struggle with envy, and even saints have struggled with envy. One particular saint who struggled with envy a lot throughout her life is a saint by the name of Hyacinta Metascati. She lived in Italy in the 17th century and grew up in a Catholic church. She was baptized, received the First Communion, all that, and confession. She was in love. Like, she was in love with this dude in her town, and all she wanted was to marry him. She was feeling him, right? She was hoping he was feeling her too. And And he wanted to get married too. That was his, like, his goal in life was to get married and have a family. And unfortunately for her, he didn't want to marry her. Man, the person he wanted to marry was her sister. And so her sister also had a crush on this dude. And so they ended up getting married and having a happy family. But Hyacintha was filled with envy, and she was frustrated at her sister's relationship with her husband. And she threw tantrums at the dinner table, and she complained every single day. And she said, if I'm going to be miserable, then you're going to be miserable. If I can't have him, then I don't want you to have him. And so she essentially just would brood day and night. And she was so unhappy and she made her family so unhappy because of her actions that they sent her away to a convent. Now, let me be very clear. Women that discern religious life don't go to religious life because they are miserable human beings and because they're not joyful or because they can't get married. They go because Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, calls them. However, there was a time in the church's history where discernment wasn't done well in religious orders. And I did a whole show on red flags and religious life and discernment. Like, listen to that show. There are still some really sketchy orders that do discernment really wrong. But in her case, it was done really wrong, and she was just sent to a convent because she made her family miserable. Now, they had money. They had means. And at that time, if you had means and if your family get a lot of money to the convent, then you could have nicer accommodations, which, again, is not a part of the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, the evangelical councils. But nonetheless, she was living a pretty bougie religious life. And so she had a much nicer cloister than other sisters had, and she had accommodations that other sisters did not have. And at some point in her life, she ended up getting really sick, and her confessor came to visit her to give her the sacraments. And when he saw the way that she was living, he was like, yo, you're going to go to hell. Like, this is not okay. This is not imitation of Christ. You are living too comfortably back here. This ain't right. And so she was convicted and she repented. But because she was so used to living in such a comfortable life, when she got better, she did what most of us do, which is we feel really bad for our sins. And we say, I'm never going to sin again if you get me out of the situation, God, and I'll change my life. And then God gets out of the situation. And after 2 weeks or a month or 2 months, we go back to our former way of life. And that's what she did. And then she had another near-death experience that rocked her. And she finally had a big-time conversion and decided to fight against her vice of envy. And so how do we define envy? Because this is one of the capital sins. Envy is defined as an irrational sadness over someone else's good fortune. And it's a covetous desire to possess what belongs rightly to somebody else. We believe that because someone else is winning, we are therefore losing. This is irrational. Go back to the very first word of the definition of envy. It's an irrational sadness. It's irrational, right? We're not losing because someone else is winning. We think that someone else's happiness is a threat to our happiness. That is not the case. It is a fact, though, that death entered our world, according to the Bible, because of Satan's envy. And so if we do not do what you're trying to do, which is fighting against this vice, this capital sin, it will bring death to our friendships and our relationships. Envy might not be operative in our lives the way it was in Hyacintha's life, right? It might not cause us to throw tantrums, but we might experience it more interiorly, where we might brood and we might grieve and might feel that sadness because of someone else's life. Maybe we're bitter because someone else's life seems to be better than ours. Again, seems to be the operative word, because many of us also struggle in ways that we don't make public. And so even if our Facebook page or our Twitter accounts or our Instagram social media sites look like we're doing great, many of us also struggle with depression and anxiety and feelings of rejection and wounds and trauma that we might not be bringing to the surface and talking about with the whole world, because it ain't the whole world's business. And so, again, we might be bitter because someone else's life seems better, but their life might also be filled with a lot of struggles that we just don't know about. Perhaps we spend a lot of our time looking on our classmates and colleagues and neighbors' social media pages, and we compare our lives to theirs all the time. We might experience this in ministry, where we think we're in competition with other people in our office, and maybe someone else got hired in campus ministry and their Bible studies are thriving more than ours seem to be thriving, and their retreats are always packed and ours aren't. We're a speaker and we're not getting that many conferences booked anymore, and all of a sudden we're like, well, why is this person and their conference is booked? And you know, it manifests itself in many different ways. But if it does, we can fight this vice. Like, we don't need to fret, worry. We can fight against this vice. And there are a number of ways that we can fight against this vice, this capital sin. So I'm going to share some of those ways with you that I find helpful. Number one, I think it's important to turn to the Word of God. Turn to the Word of God and listen to God tell us how much He loves us, how much He chooses us, how much He wants us. When we are caught up in the love of God, we're not so concerned about things that other people have that we don't have, because we have God's love. And if we have God's love, God's love is sufficient. God's love is enough. I don't need X, Y, or Z anymore. Those things are passing. God fulfills me. So one thing I do is I will read John 17, verses 22 through 26. I'll read it to you right now. Then I'll tell you what I do with that. So here it is. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I and them and you and me, that they may become perfectly one, so the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to behold my glory which you have given me in your love for me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these know that you sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will make it known that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. So what I do is, to dwell on this love that God has for me, is I will say this: the glory which you have given me, or this is, let me be very clear, this is Jesus' prayer to the Father. So rewind, Jesus' prayer to the Father. But instead of saying in them, I say Josh, because he's praying to the Father for me, right? So I'll listen to Jesus pray to the Father for me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to Josh, that Josh may be one, even as we are one. I and Josh and you and me, that Josh may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved Josh, even as you have loved me. The Father has loved Josh, even as he loved Jesus. Oh, Father, I desire that Josh, whom you've given me, may be with me where I am, to behold my glory, which you have given me. First of all, Jesus just said, Father, I desire that Josh be with me. I could meditate on that for hours. Righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and Josh knows that you have sent me. I made known to Josh your name, and I'll make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in Josh. The love that the Father has loved Jesus, Jesus prays for the Father to give that love to me, for me to experience that love, for me to receive that love, for me to perceive that love. Oh, how powerful is that? So I encourage you, like, get scripture, read scripture, and then write scripture and put your name in scripture. Replace the words them and they with your names. The scriptures also tell us in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to rejoice always, to pray constantly, to give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God. Give thanks in all circumstances. So someone else got the raise at work. Someone else got healed of cancer. Someone else got married. Someone else was accepted to a religious life. Someone else got ordained. Someone else got chosen. And I was set aside. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So focus on what did God give me. Don't focus on what I don't have. Focus on the gifts that God has given me more than I focus on what I don't have. Rejoice in those gifts. I'm able to walk. Lord, I praise you and I thank you for giving me the ability to walk. I'm able to read. And not only can I read, but I can read the Bible. I can listen to this love letter that God has written for me in the Word of God. I am able to see the face of Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. I have access to the sacraments. I'm able to be forgiven of my sins in the confessional. I'm able to worship God at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. I recognize there are so many people all over the world who can't go to Mass because of persecution, and I can go to Mass whenever I want. These are things I'm grateful for. So that's something else that's helpful. Another thing that's helpful is to avoid social media. If this is a season in your life where you're struggling with envy, then turn off social media, delete the apps. In the gospel, Jesus is talking to Peter, and he says in John 21, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes. And he says, Peter, here's how you're going to die. And then Peter, after having this super intense convo with God, Jesus, he takes his eyes off of Jesus and looks at John, the beloved disciple. He says, what you going to do with him? And Jesus says, Peter, don't you worry about what I'm doing with John. You follow me. So we need to listen to Jesus say those words to us. Josh, don't worry about what I'm doing with anybody else. You follow me. Well, Jesus, I struggle. I keep looking at them. Okay, well, then what I want you to do is I want you to delete social media. And whatever time you're going to give to social media, give to my word. Replace that time with the Bible. Replace the time with my word, right? The word of God. That's what we're invited to do. Yeah, so there's so many good things that we could do if we find that we are struggling with this vice of envy, to fight it. There's probably one more thing. Oh, here's one. One last thing. Luke, Gospel of Luke tells us this. In Luke chapter 6, verse 32 to 36, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the selfish. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. So basically, we are invited by the Lord to do good deeds to people that we struggle with envy towards. When we are merciful to those who we struggle with, when we can commit to serving them throughout the week, what we will find is that the vice begins to decrease in our lives. Right? When we do good to those who we find difficult, then the vice begins to decrease, and the virtue of gratitude, the virtue of mercy begins to increase in our lives. So we've got to cultivate virtues of gratitude and virtues of mercy, actions of gratitude and actions of mercy, and that's when we're going to begin to see envy little by little fade away in our walk toward eternity. And with that, let's go take a break, and when we come back, we're going to dive into our saint for the day.
Hi, I'm Jeff Cavins, and I'm excited to introduce you to the Ascension app. It contains the full text of the Great Adventure Bible, the full text of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and both the Bible and Catechism in a Year podcasts. The app has special features that make the connections between the Bible and the Catechism crystal clear, like color-coded crosslinks and easy navigation. It also answers nearly 1,000 questions from Bible in a Year listeners about the Bible with videos from myself and others, also audio clips and excerpts from Ascension's popular books. To download the app, simply go to the App Store on your phone and search Ascension. I hope you enjoy it. I enjoy it, carry it around everywhere I go.
So, all right, our saint for the day is St. Stephen, the first martyr in the church, deacon martyr, in Acts of the Apostles. And why did I pick him? Well, because he did good to his enemies. He did good to those who I imagine he actually struggled with, right? Specifically Saul. He prayed for Saul to receive the mercy and the love and forgiveness of God. Saul didn't deserve that, but he did good to him. And so we should be inspired to like find people in our lives that we struggle with any vices, but specifically if there's envy in our lives where we're like, man, like this vice is very operative, and pray for them, fast for them, do merciful actions towards them. Build them up, Lord. May they increase in me, I decrease. Another prayer you can pray is the Litany of Humility, which is a powerful prayer. And every time you pray the Litany of Humility, replace the word others with that person's name. Ah, so powerful and painful at the same time. But that's how the Lord oftentimes frees us when we struggle with these particular vices. And so we invite you, St. Stephen, to pray for us. Until next time, God bless.